Thanks for tuning in to Community Conversations. I'm Susie Prez, your host. Community Conversation is an interim show in place of the live morning show and broadcasts each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m., bringing local content through recorded interviews. Please note, these interviews take place a few days prior to the broadcast date and are produced via Zoom. Due to occasional internet glitches, sound quality may vary. Thank you for your patience. We also want to thank Zoom for supporting our community conversation efforts. All community conversations are available on our website after the show airs at krfy.org. I have two separate interviews for today's conversation. First up is Keely Gray, who currently wears many hats in our arts community. This conversation is about Lake Pendere Repertory Theater, also known as LPO Reps. A second interview with the representatives from West Bonner County School District, business manager Jennifer Anselmo and Superintendent Paul Anselmo. As representatives of this taxing district, they will give detail and information about the supplemental replacement levy on the ballot upcoming May 18th election. So let's get started. What do you say, Keely? Welcome.
Thank you so much, Susie. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I know we solved some of our internet glitches and here we are. So we're here to talk about a new endeavor that you are a part of, the Lake Pendere Repertory Theater, also known as LPO Reps. We want to hear all about this new exciting theatrical production company. But before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about you, Keely Gray. You've kind of stepped into the spotlight here in Sandpoint in our arts community in a big way over the last few years. You're a teacher at the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint and newly appointed board chair of the Panada at the Panada.
Interim board chair, but yeah, I'm the chairperson at the moment.
Okay, well, good deal. So you're very busy, I'm sure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint? And then your involvement at the Panada, just in an overview of how
absolutely.
That is.
Yeah, so I've been the theater director at the Music Conservatory of Sandpoint for the last almost 5 years, I believe. It started out as just one Shakespeare class, and it grew into about three classes and two productions a year that we do a children's opera. And I also serve as the technical director for our concerts and performances. So I've made a happy home here at the conservatory, and I'm really proud to represent theater for our community.
And how and, about at the Panada?
Yes. And so the Panada, so much fun being the resident theater lady, as I like to call myself. I was approached by a Mr. Foster Klein, who is one of the sweetest, kindest men you'll ever meet in your life. And he was trying to recruit new board members, and he thought with my experience in the industry that it would be a perfect fit. So one thing led to another. I sent in my application, and then of October of 2020, I was welcomed onto the board at the annual meeting, and then went to the executive committee as vice chair. And then when our former chair, Lenny Hess, stepped down, I was elected to be interim until our annual meeting, when I will be voted on to take his spot for the remainder of his term. So that's how I got in with the Panada, and it's been a fun ride, and it's been really wonderful to jump into a community that I've been with all my life, but in a new, different, and very exciting way.
Well, it seems like a natural progression from the Music Conservatory to the Panada, and now you have this new. It's not really new. It's been around for a little while, but you have the Lake Pendere Repertory Theater Company. I'm calling it a company, a group. And tell us a little bit about that. How did it come about? What is its mission? Why do you put more energy into this? What's going on?
Well, I've been in the theater scene for a very long time. When I was in college, I started doing community theater here in town and met just the most amazing people. And I'm sure you can attest to the amazing talent we have here in Sandpoint. And there's always been lots of theater happening on smaller scales. Every once in a while you'd get like the Wizard of Oz or Music Man and stuff like that. And, you know, I just, myself personally, this was kind of a selfish thing because I love musicals and I love big plays. And I just thought that Sandpoint had more than enough talent to fill a year full of theater with big, wonderful, amazing productions. So our goal and our mission is to bring and produce outstanding caliber theater with and for the community of the Inland Northwest. So we're launching officially this year. We got our start right before COVID. And then as soon as we were about to do something, it was quarantine. So we couldn't do anything. So this is kind of like our debut, really, so to speak. And so I'm really excited for our very, very first fundraiser to hopefully pay for or fund our big production that we're hoping to do in the fall.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about this big fundraiser that you have coming up that is going to be on May 6th and the 13th. Just tell us all about it, because as it says, you are raising funds for your local theater company, but it's for a big production that you have coming to buy the rights to something. So tell us all about it.
Okay, so one of my board members, Andrew Sorg, who's well known around Sandpoint, he and I one night got to conspiring about what would just be such a fun experience for Sandpoint. And we both came to the conclusion of, oh man, if we had a speakeasy, that could be so much fun. So we started brainstorming this idea of what it could be. And what came to fruition was this experiential fundraiser where we have lounge singers and we've got sort of a little mystery going on in the audience of who's the rat. So we're hoping that audiences will be able to walk into the 219er and feel like they've come into a totally different decade or time, and just experience what it was like before the time of cell phones and internet and TV, where your only source of entertainment and, you know, community, like spending time with your friends, was going to the bar, going to the lounge and hearing lounge singers. And we've got a headliner showgirl who's doing choreography. And like I said, we'll have a little interactive portion of it, which is going to be so much fun. So it's really just a really immersive, fun experience.
So it says it's an elegant and interactive evening of song. Mm-hmm. So are you a singer?
I am a singer, yes. I'm a classically trained singer for a long time now. I really didn't hit my stride until I came to the Music Conservatory, and Karin Wiedemeyer, our executive director, took my voice and reshaped it into something that I'm really proud of today, because I've sang songs in the recent years that were on my bucket list, basically. And I've always sang through college. I was a musical theater minor and a music minor. And my major was theater in college. So I've been singing my whole life, starting in choir and at SHS with John Brunel. So music's a big part of my life.
So this event is taking place at the 219 Lounge, which is right downtown Sandpoint. It's two different nights. May 6th and May 13th, are both nights going to be basically the same, or are you adding things or switching things up a bit?
They should be the same evening. We've got the same lineup of singers and entertainment that should be happening. We just wanted to give as many people the opportunity to see it as possible. When we originally were thinking of this idea, we actually thought of making it a traveling speakeasy and going from bar to bar to bar every different weekend, but with COVID it kind of presented us with a really interesting set of stipulations that we had to make sure we were very cautious of. So we were originally going to do this back in March, but I'm very, very glad that we pushed it back to May, so that, you know, things are changing, and we're hoping that this can be a really nice way to kind of welcome the community back to the arts in Sandpoint.
And so when you're talking about being cautious with COVID protocols and things like that, safety protocols, it does say that there's limited tickets. Is that one of the things that's not going to be crammed in?
Yes. So there's only 60 tickets available per night. And so that's a limited capacity for the 219er. We will have tables and seating and everything happening there. Masks are, of course, welcome if you would like to wear them, but obviously there's no mask mandate in Sandpoint anymore. So it's at our guest discretion. We will respect everybody's choices. But yes, limited capacity. And I will mention that we do have a VIP ticket option, which is $60, whereas a regular ticket price is $35. With a VIP, you get some extra perks, of course, and early entry.
Okay, well, so you've mentioned a little bit about, and we'll get back to how to get tickets because we're going to entice people to get a ticket. But let's just go back for a minute because you said there'll be lots of song, but kind of give us a little bit more of a picture of how the evening will unfold.
Excellent. So when you walk in, first of all, it's going to be a traditional speakeasy. So all of our ticket holders will be sent an email before the evening with a password. Now, this password is a way for you to get in. We're going to have a bouncer, and I say that with quotation marks because he's not really a bouncer, he's an actor. But we'll have a bouncer out front who's going to be, his responsibility is to take the password and to make sure that only the people with the password can come into the speakeasy. And then once you come in, you'll walk into music playing just like it would be if it was a regular lounge. When houses open at 6:30, it'll just be piano and drums playing. We won't have singers just yet. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll welcome our first MC, which is going to be Mr. Andrew Sorg, to the stage. And he's going to be kind of walking you through the evening as it progresses. So we'll have a mix of singers, but there's also going to be a mystery happening throughout the club because all of the other speakeasies in Sandpoint have been shut down because there's a rat. And the rat has been hiding himself in the clubs. And so one of the audience members is actually going to be the rat every night, which is going to be so much fun. So it's going to be twofold with the interaction where one of our audience members will be the rat and it will be up to the rest of the audience to help save the club as to if they can figure that out. Because if they don't, we don't know. I can't spoil the ending for you, but, you know, bad things may happen.
It sounds like this speakeasy fundraiser is really kind of a play in action, interaction with the folks that decide to come to it.
It is. And it's interesting because I've been grappling back and forth with what to call it, you know, because it's not a traditional play. It's not a traditional performance. So I've been calling it an experience because it's definitely not your traditional. I'm going to go sit in a theater and watch a musical for 2 hours. I'm participating in this and people will be able to move around throughout the sets, you know, because we've got sets of like 20, 25 minutes, you know, so it's not going to be this, you sit down, you watch the show all night, you know, we're encouraging everybody to have fun and talk to your friends and go get a drink and move around and do your thing, just like if it was a real club back in the 20s. So it's definitely, I'm excited to showcase the talent because it's been very collaborative in regards to how this evening was crafted. But I will tell you that I am so proud of the singers that we have lined up for this show. We have got some amazing talent in this town, and some of our singers you would have never known, and they're hidden gems and they're coming to the surface. And I found two of my singers I had never even met before, and then I heard them sing and it just, my jaw dropped. So I'm so proud of our singers and how amazingly talented they are, but I'm also super proud of our actors that we've got in the creation of the story that was written. And we've also got some choreography for our lovely headliner. So you get to see a little bit of dancing too, which is going to be really fun.
Another thing I noticed is that people are encouraged to dress up.
Yes. Oh yes. So
in the 20s style.
We're kind of loosely going 20s or 30s because Prohibition was like late 20s, early 30s. For instance, I say that because I'm more of a fan of the early 30s dresses. So my dress will probably be a little bit more like that. But we're so encouraging people to dress up, get your hair done, make it a date night, have some fun. It's going to be a really, really cool experience.
So I'm just speaking here with Keely Gray. She's telling us about the Lake Pontore Repertory Theater's upcoming fundraiser called Speakeasy. It sounds, you have a good way of enticing people to go buy those tickets. And how would they do that if they are excited to go?
Well, I'm very excited to say that our website is probably one of the easiest to remember on planet Earth. LPOREP.com. That's LPOREP.com. And they can buy tickets there. There's a link on our website that'll take them to our ticket outlet where you can purchase either a VIP ticket for $60 or a regular entry ticket for $35.
That sounds good. And let's just get back to for a moment to the reason you're having this fun. I think it's partly just because you want to have fun. And people who do plays and productions and things like that, it's really about having fun. But
oh yeah,
what is the purpose of this fundraiser? Is there an end goal? Is there a reason that you're hosting it?
Oh, of course. Well, of course, the number one goal is there are songs that I've been dying to sing since college. So, you know, a little selfish there, totally. But the really big goal of this fundraiser is so that we can raise at least $5,000 so that we can purchase the rights to perform a big fall musical. And the only hint that I'll drop about the show that I am hopefully, fingers crossed, will be able to purchase the rights to is there is a tap dancing monster.
So what you're saying is you want to buy the rights to do a future show and there's a secret tap dancing monster.
That's the only hint I can give. And maybe I'll drop one more hint, which is Mr. Mel Brooks may be involved.
Okay. Okay, well, yeah. And when do you think you'd like to do this production?
We're hoping for a Halloween production, which is also another clue. If we're able to raise the funds that we need for this fund from this fundraiser, we'll be able to directly turn around and purchase the rights and launch right into production, which I'm very excited about because I'm looking forward to keeping mining the talent that's in this town, because not only do we have stellar actors and singers, we've also got stellar choreographers and tech designers and set designers and costumers. And I'm just so excited for us to be able to have a platform to like show off all these people's work and create our own mini Broadway here in Sandpoint.
It almost sounds like our arts community is in the very beginning of a revival. Would you
it's
kind of
funny.
Feel that way?
Yes, it's so funny that you say that because I've been saying to everybody, I feel like Sandpoint's about to launch into a huge renaissance. Like we're about to go into a place where all arts organizations are just all of the pent up stuff that we've like not been able to do for the last year. We're just gonna go crazy. So I am very much so looking forward to the future and what not only Sandpoint, but just the rest of the world will produce going forward into 2022.
Well, your enthusiasm is contagious. You have a lot of energy and it does take a certain amount of people with your kind of energy and enthusiasm to really kind of, as you say, have a renaissance or a revival of the arts in a community. It's a natural progression. So we're very fortunate to have you part of our community. Well, I think you grew up here, right?
I did, born and raised.
Wow, that's so cool, Keely Gray. And so one more time, details about your upcoming fundraiser for the Lake Pendere Repertory Theater Production Company.
Absolutely. So our Speakeasy fundraiser is coming up on May 6th and 13th. Those are Thursday evenings at the 219 Lounge. Tickets are $35 for regular entry and $60 for VIP, which comes with some added perks and an early entrance fee or an early entrance at 6:15. So you can find our tickets at LPOREP.com. That's LPOREP.com.
Fantastic. It sounds like a lot of fun. And we wish you and LPO Rep all the best. Sandpoint, as you know, is known as an arts community and live theater and entertainment is a big part of that. I think I agree with you. We've missed it. So thanks for carrying the mission forward during this lull. And we wish all the best to LPO Repertory Theater. I want to say goodbye. Thank you so much, Keely, for sitting in on this Zoom recording today.
Thank you, Susie. It's always fun chatting with you and just conspiring about the future.
And up next, we have West Bonner County School District to talk about the upcoming May 18th election. And it's a supplemental replacement levy that will be on the ballot for those living in West Bonner County. Now we have representatives from West Bonner County School District, Financial Manager Jennifer Anselmo and Superintendent Paul Anselmo to talk about the upcoming Educational Support Maintenance Operation Replacement Levy. That's a lot of words in there. This is a very important levy that's coming up. This levy will be on the ballot for the May 18th election. It's coming right up. So welcome, Jennifer and Paul.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And so let's just dive in a little bit. You know, kind of going back and forth, we want to hear all about the levy and why it's important to the school district here and the details of it. But it came up to my understanding that there's a lot of questions. Why do school districts in our state, 80% of school districts in Idaho, have to have this every 2 year supplemental levy to make ends meet? Can you give us a little background about why that is? What happened?
Sure. So just a little quick background to that. In 2006, the legislature removed the school tax. Prior to that time, everybody paid a mill rate of $3 per thousand of assessed value. It was just called the school tax. It was within the property tax. The legislature removed that in 2006 and shifted it to a sales tax. They added 1% sales tax, promptly followed by the recession that we had during that time, and school funding was cut during that time, and thus became the need for all these districts to run supplemental levies just to keep the doors open.
It takes quite a toll on a school district to run a levy every 2 years. What is that look like for what you're trying to do just to make ends meet on a fairly conservative budget, I think, too, from what I've seen?
No, absolutely. It's a challenge each and every time we have to go out for that. We try our best to be fiscally responsible, the school board being fiscally responsible. And, you know, just to do that, it's a lot of pressure on everybody involved, employees, everybody's feeling that pressure. And I think it definitely causes a divide in the community when you're out there asking for money.
All righty. Well, there's a lot to know about this levy, a lot of numbers. And I think when thinking about it, the bottom line is not numbers. The bottom line is the students. But we do still need to know numbers. It helps people understand why you are asking for this levy to be passed. So why don't we get to that? But first also, West Bonner County School District, what does that entail? Is that Priest River? What does that look like? How many students and how many schools are in your district?
Oh, sure. So we have 5 schools within our district. We have a large geographical district, 780 square miles. And within that, you know, we're running somewhere around 950 students currently, projecting a few more coming back after the COVID-19 pandemic. We lost a few during that time. So yeah, it's a large geographical district, but not necessarily a lot of students.
Okay, so that means a lot of driving and busing and hidden costs, not really hidden, but it's not just paying the teachers, which unfortunately is underpaid in my estimation from what I've read about the funding from in Idaho is 50th in the nation for students per student funding. Am I right about that?
Yes.
Okay. So this levy is a part of the absolute need to keep your school district going. And did you mention how many, you said not a lot of students, but there's 5 schools in the district, and how many employees, both, teacher employees and support staff?
We have about 180 employees right now. We are the largest employer in West Bonner County. And just for an idea on the boundaries of our school district, we go north of Priest Lake, all the way down to Spirit Lake, over to Old Town, and all the way over through Laclede. So That's that large geographical area Paul mentioned.
The cost of busing is probably pretty high for your district.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not reimbursed 100% from the state either.
Yeah. So let's get to what is the educational support, maintenance, and operations replacement levy? What does this mean? Why is it important? What programs are funded? The whole dollar and cents thing, Jennifer, you probably have a lot of those numbers.
So, thank you. I'll jump in real quick here, just kind of the basics of the levy. I think Jennifer will be happy to discuss more of the financial part of it, but just kind of in general, the levy is to support educational programs, maintenance of buildings, and our day-to-day operations. And it allows us to offer these elective classes for our students. So there's more options available for them, you know, music, choir, extracurricular activities, all of those are made available through this levy. It allows us to maintain our buildings since this is mostly unfunded from the state. And again, I know Jennifer will talk on that a little bit later, but we have requirements there of how much we have to spend on that maintenance and mostly unfunded from the state level, you know, and as you know, when you use buildings, things tend to wear out. A few of the operations part of it includes transportation, again, partially funded at the state level, safety and security. So with these funds, we're able to fund our school resource officer among some other safety programs. It also covers some salary and benefits of employees, as well as special education funding shortfalls. The state caps their funding that we receive for that, and the needs far exceed the funds given.
Right, so real quick, a question in there that Jennifer, you'll probably hit anyways. What percentage of this levy, if passed, it looks like it's fixed at $3,432, $3,432,000, et cetera, is it of your whole budget? What percentage of the budget?
It's 25% of our total budget. And just to dive down a little bit on what programs, more specifically, Paul touched on some of them that are covered by our levy dollars. But as he mentioned, co-curricular and extracurricular activities, which does include athletics, performing arts, music, instructional materials and supplies, which includes library supplies, classroom supplies, our technology needs, and new curriculum adoptions. Maintaining and approving facilities. With this levy, we are requesting heating system repairs and updates, roof repairs, siding repairs at Priest River Elementary, and traffic safety lighting at Priest Lake Elementary, which is on the highway. And then obviously the ability to increase safety with our maintaining our school resource officer and safe transportation.
So this is a replacement levy. Is it really increasing anyone's tax burden? What is it? What is this? What does the word replacement mean in this picture?
Sure. So the levy is to replace our current expiring levy. It's kind of a common myth out there that these levies add on to each other, and that's just absolutely not true. Every 2 years, the levy expires, and we go back out for a vote to get a new levy approved. And so, you know, in terms of how it changes in their property taxes, our mill rate is staying the same as our current expiring levy. So it's $1.47 per thousand of assessed property value, and that's after the homeowner's exemption. Due to the increase in property values and the sale of Priest Lake lease properties to private owners, we were able to keep the mill rate the same as our last levy, but actually ask for more dollars this time. So if you didn't have an increase in that assessed property value, pay the same as last time.
So does that mean that some programs will lose funding or have reduced funding and some programs will increase the need for funding. How is it balancing? If the funding stays the same, basically, are all the programs that are funded staying about the same?
Yes. So our current levy request has most of the same requests it's had for many years. I would say most of the additional dollars are going towards facilities with this levy request that we're able to generate. All but about 200,000 of those extra dollars are going towards bigger facility repairs.
Okay. So what the bottom line is, when you're talking about the extracurricular activities that this levy and all the levies have paid for, this is not a new thing. I just want to keep making sure we understand that. These extracurricular activities, how does it impact or affect a student? Because really that, again, I'll mention, they're the bottom line. They're the reason you're doing everything that you're doing. How does it enrich, impact, make a difference in a student's life in school and beyond?
Oh, thank you for that. So I've been a coach for many years as well, and so I really have a strong belief in those co-curricular activities, not just the sports, but the music and arts made available as well. And I think, you know, that's part of creating a whole child and educating to the whole child, and the lessons learned through those sports activities or, you know, your music programs, drama and such are lessons you take with you throughout your whole life working as a team. I think it certainly enriches the child's education.
And when they leave school, does it help them find their path? Because school is one thing and then they become adults, and does it, you know, support their movement forward in any certain way?
Well, absolutely. I think, you know, that whole thing of working with others, working as part of a team, you know, for some kids at a certain age, you're not seeing necessarily a value in education as much, but you're certainly seeing the value in sports and in those other programs involved. And when you have those, you know, it allows you to keep pursuing your education as well.
Okay. Jennifer, why don't we find out a little bit more about the funding aspect of this? What happens, I don't want to say this, but how crucial is getting this levy passed to the goals and objectives of keeping this school district healthy and vital for the students?
So basically, I mean, we would consider this essential funding. Without this, the board would be forced to cut 25% of our budget. So I'm really not in a position to make assumptions about what the board would do with that. However, it is 25% of our budget that we would be without.
So as we mentioned before, in Idaho, the cost of education is not funded fully by the state, federal dollars, thus the need for local or county levies. And you mentioned that this levy does not increase the cost to the property owners. I think it's important to kind of go over that one more time, because that can be a talking point for any opposition to the levy.
Correct. So it's all based on projections. So obviously projections can shift. However, if somebody's home value was the same when we requested our last levy as it is now, we are levying more dollars without raising that mill rate. So their chunk that is going towards our district would be the same, essentially. As those market values in our area go up, it does lower the mill rate. So that's what captured those extra funds. To touch on funding in Idaho, you know, we'd be remiss to not mention the biggest chunk of our levy does go towards our general fund shortfall. And our general fund shortfall is basically all of these deficiencies we have in our funding. So it covers the cost of, Paul already touched on a few of these, salaries and benefits. Our utilities are not funded by the state. certain special education services are not funded by the state. I always like to mention a few unfunded mandates or funding shortfalls from the state because they're easy to see. The first one is with transportation. Our transportation reimbursement model from the state is that they will fund us somewhere between 50 and 85% of our actual expense. So when you look at the dollars, it's around 70% of our actual expenses are funded by the state. Another big one that Paul touched on earlier is facilities. Idaho code mandates, based on your square footage of your buildings, how much money you have to spend on facilities maintenance. So for our district, that's about $380,000 a year that we're required to spend. However, the only pot of money we get for facilities is called lottery funds, and it's about $76,000. So as you can see, there's some gaps there, and that is where this general fund shortfall and the need for this levy is so big.
And it will be on the ballot on May 18th for the West Bonner County voting district. And if you want to register to vote, it's really simple. You can actually ask for an absentee ballot up until May 7th, or you can do it in person May 18th. And you can actually do early voting at the county building here in Sandpoint, starting, let's see, I wrote that down somewhere, starting pretty soon. But you can go to idahovotes.gov, where you can register to get an absentee ballot or find out all about the deadlines and things like that. So I, as a person here at 88.5 KRFY, really like to have informed and active voters, because guess what? Your vote counts, right? And in this case, it counts and it affects children. It affects our very best of what we do as people here in North Idaho is take care of our children. So anything else you'd like to say about this before we sign off?
I guess if you're looking for more information about the levy, you can visit our website at sd83.org. And we do have a tab that's called Levy Facts, and it's more detailed information. Or feel free to call Superintendent Anselmo or myself for more information as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of misinformation going out there, and we just encourage everybody to find the facts and make informed decisions for yourself, not believing some of the misinformation being put out, particularly on social media.
I think your website is great. I went to it to find out a lot about it. And so I would also encourage folks to go to that website. Again, it's WBCSD or West Bonner County School District .org.
It's just SD83.org.
Okay, there you go. School District 83. Okay. So again, thank you very much for helping us be informed. I want to thank West Bonner County School District representatives, financial manager Jennifer Anselmo, and Superintendent Paul Anselmo for sharing this important information about the upcoming replacement levy vote that will be on May 18th ballot. So Paul and Jennifer, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And best of luck with your levy election.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's about it, folks. Thanks for listening to 88.5 KRFY community and listener supported radio for North Idaho and beyond, streaming on the web at krfy.org. Podcasts of this and all community conversation shows are available on the station website, again, at krfy.org. And since we are a resource to help our community with information and news, here's an update. Information about the novel coronavirus, or better known as COVID-19, is evolving on a daily basis, and new changing safety protocols are coming out regularly. Please continue to work together to minimize the impact of COVID-19 in our community and respond proactively to federal and state guidance. More information at coronavirus.idaho.gov, where you can also sign up to get the vaccine. It's really pretty simple, and we can get this through this together. Let's be good neighbors and friends and protect each other. Please wear a mask inside public buildings and consider getting vaccinated if you can. Also, information about upcoming county election, which are May 18th. Your vote is important and your vote counts. Information about the upcoming election is available on Sandpoint Online Election Central and at the Bonner County Election Office. There you can see registration, absentee ballot, and early voting information and deadlines. You can also go to idahovotes.gov for a real easy website. Thanks for listening today to Community Conversations, which airs every Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY Community Radio. Please enjoy Otto's eclectic mix all day long. Have a great day and bye for now.